State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yep, yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep-throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded. The disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it. Cause we wrote it, the north, south, the east coast. It's the GB knock, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt. They throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Ghetto Boys in the house. Back with another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, CEO of Mobo Records, Joe Payne, a.k.a.
Mobo Joe on the real. On the real, baby. What's up? What's up, Mobo Joe in the building, legend.
What's up? Yeah, I was gonna say your name, but I ain't. This is the first time somebody ever actually finished their name for me.
You know? Yes,
but
sir.
Since you took it over, I was like, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Do your thing. Now, any questions?
Nah, I ain't got no questions, man. I'm just glad to be in the building, man. I'm almost famous. Ghetto Boys reloaded.
You good with me, man. You good. Mm-hmm. You got a nice catalog, man. A nice record. Damn, you got kind of a couple of records, man. You got a record in a couple different ways there.
Yes, sir.
But it all started with the music, mm-hmm. right? Mobo Records. What year did you start? 19?
I dropped it on my first one, the end of 91. I dropped my first project.
So that's 91.
Mm-hmm. And what group was that?
That was the lower level organization.
And then you came back with
Ruthless Juvenile.
Ruthless Juvenile. And then you came with Doghouse Posse.
Yeah. And Debt.
Mm-hmm. And all of that. Now, you also had a couple of bounce artists that you put out. But you primarily, Mobo Records is known for that gangster shit.
Yeah. You know, I'm the one that introduced the gangster shit to New Orleans. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how does it feel to know that you actually started that, but your name ain't never mentioned? I ain't talking about sometimes, man. I ain't never heard nobody mention your name when they start talking about it, except the people that know. They talk about it. But I'm talking about as far as like in the mainstream discussion. I hear Cash Money all the time. I hear Big Boy. I hear, you know, No Limit. But I never hear people talking about Mobo. What's up with that?
Man, that's just New Orleans, man. I understand it because I'm from New Orleans. I know how New Orleans people are, you know what I'm saying? But my fans in the street, the people in the streets, they keep me, you know, going and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't feel no type of way when I hear it, you know what I'm saying? Because I know, like, we don't really pull each other up on that level, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I did what I did. It's my story. It's my history, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I did it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did it, bro. You did it. Desire. You came up in Desire.
Yeah, well, I'm from Harvey, Louisiana.
You from Harvey.
Yeah.
But you moved at to some Desire point, y'all Project. Lived in Desire Project.
Yeah, well, I did. Okay. I did. Right after my father died, I had made my first son, and I started dating his mother out of the Desire Project.
Okay.
So then, around that time, I started selling, you know, the dollar weeds. So me and my mom had
allegedly.
A discussion.
Allegedly. Yeah.
So me and my mom had a little discussion, and then that's when I wind up moving to the Desire Project.
Yeah. And then at some point, you hatched the idea to start Mobo Records.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what inspired that?
What inspired that? Eazy-E, Ghetto Boys, Luke Skywalker, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Coming up under that umbrella. And then when I got the money, I was like, I wanted to make an investment, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And at that time, I already was already coming to Houston a lot. I was coming out here a whole lot, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I wanted to start a label. My homeboy, he dead right now. So I asked him, well, I told
KT?
Him, huh?
KT?
No, not KT. It was my childhood friend. His name was T.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I want to start a record label. So then he was telling me Ace Nitty, which was Notorious A, the one who rapped with Lower Level, which was my homeboy too. He grew up. He told me he rapped.
Okay.
So I was like, is he any good? He was like, yeah, he good, but you know, he rap, you know, like real hard street stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I called him. I went back down and I listened to him. And I was like, man, what we got to do? And he told me he had talked to Ice Mike. Ice Mike make the beats and stuff. But he didn't have the money to do the beats. So I had the money. So then I just got connected with him. And then from there, it was on.
I thought you were going to say, so I just did the beats. Because you did some production, didn't you?
No, I had bought production equipment. And I got debt to start doing my production.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But you was rapping.
Yeah, I rapped. Yeah. I rapped on some of it. Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point, you move your operation to West Bank.
Yeah, to the West Bank.
You move to West Bank. And, you know, things are looking good. Everything is cool, whatever. It's taking off. And then you run into a roadblock.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well, when I moved to the West Bank, I was still on the West Bank. I moved to the West Bank. I had bought me a house like in 91. I bought my first house.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had got a record store, and that's where my real production, I was selling CDs, and I was selling everybody CDs and stuff like that. Well, then 98, I caught a federal case, and that's when they left the streets from 98. I went to federal prison.
Yeah, and things kind of like, from that point, you know, the label goes into obscurity.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody there to pick up the baton and run with it. I guess you hadn't... Obviously, you didn't foresee getting jammed up or whatever.
Yeah,
and I did. So, but at this point, where you are now in life, I know you got some things going on right now. You know, you pretty much rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
are you like putting certain mechanisms in place to make sure that if ever anything happens to you, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. that somebody, even if you just don't feel like working for a week, a month, or a year,
yeah,
is there somebody that can keep the movement going now if something happens to you?
The thing about it, it's just so hard to find them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like I lost my first son, my oldest son, in 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my second son, I was trying to get him to come in and, you know, be that person. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's just hard for these kids because they got this bridge between us and a lot of our kids trying to get them to understand and work with their parents. Like, I got one son, left my youngest son. He do music. He, like, manage one of his guys. He basically do everything I do, but he just don't do it with me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm still in search to find somebody. I got this other little guy. His name Carl. He work with me. So right now, he kind of that guy, but just keeping him focused, Will, on, you know, the hard work that we did and understanding. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because the worst thing about life, have this legacy. You know what I'm saying? And then you die and your legacy die. That means you was a failure. You know what I'm saying? So my worst fear is to let that happen, but it's just find the right person to understand my vision of what I started and to carry it to the next level.
Man, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that legacy thing and being a failure if your legacy dies.
That's right.
You know, like we have to plan.
You have to.
We can see, like, right now, the way I look at you and from what I know about you is that you are in the best position to change your parents or your family's generational wealth. Mm-hmm. You're in the best position. Mm-hmm. You have the name recognition. You know, you have better connects than anybody else. You got more resources. So you're in I feel like too much is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. And it would be a shame to have had the success that you have and that die with you.
Yeah.
The same thing for me. Like,
yeah,
I would feel like a failure.
Exactly.
Within a generation or two, or even three.
That's right.
My family ends up back in Fifth Ward, not because they want to be there, but because they can't afford to live anywhere else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, that's admirable, man, that you're thinking on that level.
Yeah, like I run my trucking business, but all my business skills came from my father. You know what I'm saying? When I was a kid, he bought me with him to do a lot of business transactions. He bought me in a bank and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So I really honor my father, you know, the 15, 16 years he was there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I try to get my kids to understand it, but sometimes they don't be the one. You know what I'm saying? You got to make that right choice. That somebody who understand your vision. It might don't be your kids. It might don't be your cousin. It might be somebody who comes alone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That understand what you build and what you got. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I work with Al Mont a lot. He like a young rapper. And he been doing a lot of stuff with me, too. So he spent a lot of time with me. So he know how I think and how I move and how I do stuff. You just never know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But somebody got to pick up the ball, man, because I think I got 312 songs I done did over the years. You know what I'm saying? And I got some of the best original New Orleans music from the early 90s. You know what I'm saying? That's taking off right now because the other avenues with the podcasts and stuff that you can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, speaking of podcasts, Lacamo Show, man, what's up with that?
Well, the Lacamo Show, all right, when you see me now.
Yeah.
I'm not Mobo Joe. I'm Lacamo. You know what I'm saying? It's like Mobo Joe was the one back then. You know what I'm saying? I was doing the gangster music. I was doing all that. The concept of the Lacamo came when I got ready to buy me a new car. And I said, what's going to make this car special, right? And I thought about it. Like when I was coming up, all the older men in the neighborhood where I lived at, well, basically, I like to call it a village because it was, you know, I had a father in every hood and everybody, household back there. So they was only really can afford luxury car was a Cadillac. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I said, you know what? I'm going to go with a Cadillac. I could have got the Benz. I could have got the BMW. I looked at Bentleys and all that.
Yeah.
But it connected me with them old folks because one thing my spirit showed me, they all had their last ride in that Cadillac.
Mm.
So I say, you know what? I'm going to enjoy mine while I'm still here. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's where the concept of lack of mode come from, because I'm in Cadillac mode now. I'm not in the sound mode to I want to do songs that downgrade my sisters, talking about blowing my brothers up anymore. I'm not there no more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm lack of mode. I'm teaching the younger people, you know, how to get in the music business, how to get in the trucking business, and also eat right and live right and treat each other right. That's the lack of mode concept. That's where I'm at right now.
So basically you're trying to go to heaven.
Well, I don't believe in it, you know, like that's a whole nother topic. Yeah, okay, right. But, you know, I mean, if we want to go there, I'm in heaven right now.
Yeah.
If you don't get to heaven on earth, you're never going to get there.
Yeah.
It's not a place you go. Heaven is the way it ought to be. You got to live it now. You can't go to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when I leave, when I leave, I want to be like Tina Marie said on Deja Vu. I thank God I got to come back no more. I got it right.
Mm.
See what I'm saying? I got it right. If you go back and listen to all these old songs, like if you listen to Tina Marie, you listen to Stand Up For Your Right by Bob Marley, rest in peace to these people. You listen to some of the words and stuff they're saying, then you'll understand all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with it. So, like, I'm in heaven right now, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In life, it's about 10% of what happens to you, and 90% is how you react.
Mm-hmm.
How did you react when your son died in 2005?
It was hard. But what it did, it helped me because I questioned everything that I know. That's why I understand about heaven and hell. Like, this world is rigged. Well, you know this. It's rigged. You know what I'm saying? We come up getting past this rig that the concept of life was passed on to us. Growing up, losing my father, losing a lot of my partners, you know what I'm saying? Not losing my son. I'm like, nah, I got to figure out this can't be how God work. It just can't be like that. So when I started questioning myself, I started doing a lot of research. I research and I do a lot of meditation. You know what I'm saying? So as I start researching, I start understanding a lot of this stuff was just set up. We just basically what I realized, we have been going through life repeating stuff that was passed on to us, that was taught to us, that we learned in school, we learned in the hood, but it wasn't a reality. When I started doing the research, the stuff ain't made sense. You know what I'm saying? Because when I lost my son, you know, you taught to retaliate, right? So now I'm going to kill another son look just like my son. You know what I'm saying? Like, rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. I heard him say, like, one day they was on the prowl to blow up another gangbanger. And he said he realized he was hunting his own self. You know what I'm saying? So when that happened, the anger was there.
Yeah,
he said that. So the anger was there, but it made me dig into myself, into my spirit to understand, okay, nah, this ain't right. This ain't right. Like, my mom passed about 4 years ago, and before she passed, I had the opportunity to go to her and tell her, Mom, y'all got bamboozled. A lot of this stuff that you taught us, it ain't like that. You know what I'm saying? But like she told me, son, you got to live your own life. You know what I'm saying? So it was real hard, man. It was real hard.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, Participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your son died in 2005. 3 months later, Katrina pop off.
Yeah,
Katrina was like is recorded as the greatest cyclone disaster on record. 1,392 people died during Katrina, most of them out of New Orleans. Did you have time to stop grieving your son's death? How did that, like, so you had your son, it's a major catastrophe, you know. They say the greatest pain is the loss of a child. Mm-hmm. Your child is murdered.
Firstborn, too.
Your child is murdered, right. Your firstborn, murdered. And then you're grieving. You're obviously still grieving. And then a catastrophe, another catastrophe, a national disaster happens. And we're talking bodies are falling everywhere, all around you. How are you processing that in association with still dealing with the death of your son?
It was hard. It was real hard because Katrina, I stayed in New Orleans the whole time. I never left. I never left from beginning to the end. I was there the whole time, which I was on the West Bank, but I was there because my mom, she was old, right? Mm-hmm. So she was like, boy, I stood for Bessie. I'm not going nowhere. So if my mama not going, I ain't going. So by me staying there, it made it more harder because I'm seeing my people, man. I'm seeing like people, it's straight survivor mode. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, the way I come up, you know what I'm saying? It ain't too many things I can't figure out how to get through. But like, it was so hard I couldn't grieve. I couldn't grieve because it was survival mode because people studied down. You got family members missing, you know what I'm saying? And then my mom, it was the original house that we was raised in. So the only phone was working was my mom's phone because she had a landline phone. Mm. So everybody calling my mom because my mom, like a lot of knowledge and wisdom I got it from my mom. My mom is real spiritual. She can tell you something's going to happen and it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So they all calling. We don't have no power, so we can't really see the news or none of that. But people come in, y'all all right? You know, this going on, that going on. And then when I went to moving around, I seen it. It was so hard. So at this time, I can't even really grieve. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, in my era, I'm this big giant. Joe can figure out everything. That's how people look at it. Like, call Ivory Joe. He can figure it out. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm trying to grieve my son, but I got all these other people. They don't know what to do, how to survive. So they calling us. So I really had no time to do it. Mm-hmm. I really didn't. You know? I had to just learn on the job.
I was thinking as you was telling this story, why didn't you just snatch your mom up, just kidnap, and just say, you going, I'm getting you up out of here. I don't care what you say.
You got to know my mom. Man, you got to know her, man. Like, she's stubborn. She's stubborn. And I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to call the National Guards to come get you. Boy, I hate you. I ain't going nowhere. But what's funny, right after that, what it was, not Ida, what's that one name? Rita. Rita. Okay. Came right out there. I said, Mom, we gone. I said, we gone. We went up to Northern Louisiana, to Natchez, Louisiana. I got her to go that time. But Katrina, she wouldn't go. And then we staying there, you couldn't go. Like, you couldn't really go. You was there now.
Perhaps she didn't realize how real it was.
No.
When she was in the midst of Katrina, she didn't know it was going to get that bad.
Nobody did.
And now,
we didn't.
Now she has a reference point.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah. So the reader, she was like, yeah, you know, like, she got out of there. Because, like, we ain't thought Katrina was going to be that bad. You know what I'm saying? And, like, right after the Katrina hit, it wasn't that bad. But when the levees broke and all that, that's when it... Because it was like, when I come outside, cause like I said, I stand away, but I come outside, I'm looking. But then when I start seeing all the people, like, hundreds of people. Like, I live in a rural area, like in the woods. Man, they got people, hundreds of people walking the streets. You know what I'm saying? They're sweating. They got stuff they're just trying to, you know what I'm saying? And they're coming through, and they're like, they see me because everybody know me. Like, man, Mo is messed up, man. Yada, yada, yada. And like, what we going to do? And I'm like, man, it was like, you know what I'm saying? It was bad, man. It was bad. But all that helps me got to the lack of Mo. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, there's no way a race of people supposed to be treated like this. It's just no way.
Do you think the levees broke, or do you think they broke them?
They broke them. Yeah. Everybody heard the explosion.
Yeah.
Like I'm telling you, when we came out after the storm, it was normal. But then when that boom, that levee broke, that's when it got flooded, man.
Yeah.
That's when it got flooded. So allegedly it did something.
Yeah, I don't put.
You know what I'm saying? Then you know, like I say, the levee broke in the Ninth Ward. That was the desire yet. So I know a lot of people down there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them people couldn't afford to really leave. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got people up until Katrina. I'm talking about older than me at this time. They never left out the Ninth Ward. That's how New Orleans is. Yeah. Like people downtown, you stay downtown. They don't have no reason to go nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're on to something. I don't put anything past them behind them. No, forward or nothing, man. There's some wicked people in this world. Man,
I seen so much. I seen so much stuff, man. It was taking, the police was taking all the supplies. They was the one breaking into places.
Are they still as corrupt as they were back then? I know they're still dirty. I know they're going to be dirty. They're going to always be dirty.
Yeah, they're still.
But are they still as dirty?
Yeah.
God, yeah. Those uncivilized must be stopped.
Yeah, they're still.
I can't stand y'all asses. I know you're listening. Mm-hmm. Can't stand you. Can't stand you.
They got me jammed up right now.
Yeah, man. What happened to that black Delta 88 you used to drive?
It was a Bonneville.
That was a Bonneville?
Yeah, it was a 84 Bonneville, the dope ride. And I had the snakeskin interior and all that in it. And believe it or not, I sent it to the junk, y'all, to the scrap, y'all. Because...
Why'd you do that?
Because my mom worked on my nerves one day. Because, like, every so often, the code enforcement would come through. You know what I'm saying? And I had my car down, and I had a deuce and a quarter on our property, which is family property. So they'll come through and they'll write up. So she called me one day, said, boy, you got to do something in the car. And I just got mad. So the old man across the street, he strap called. So I just went, hey, bro, I'm telling you, when it was shining like glass, when I signed to the jungle, y'all, I said, man, just take it. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't too long. I had come off from jail. I got three boys. You know what I'm saying? My oldest one's 16. I got 15. And then I got my youngest son. He's like about, two, 3 years old. I got to focus on my kids and my mama. You know what I'm saying? I ain't had time to mess with the music. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a provider all their life. You know what I'm saying? So small things like that, it didn't matter. Well, you know what I'm saying? So I just told him to send to the junkyard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now my partner, Kenny, he had the beige 88 with the wheel on the back. Then Lil J had the white Regal that we used on the album cover. And then the blue covers for Rock with the powder blue one. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was all like my homeboy calls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, where is Cheeky Black?
Cheeky Black, she around. She out here in Houston.
Really?
She out here in Houston. She live out here. Mm-hmm. She in Houston. Yep. Mother of twerk, Cheeky Black.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. Now, is she the best-selling artist on the label? Oh.
No, my biggest project was Ruler's Juvenile.
Yeah.
Ruler's Juvenile. Like, the Cheeky was, she did a solo, but I put Hall, Ricky B, and all of them on the mobile click.
Yeah.
I put them all on the mobile click. But the biggest one was the Ruler's Juvenile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about Lil Goldie?
He in Baton Rouge. She's still doing his thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, he in Baton Rouge. He cutting hair, and he got another little business, but he be hollering at me, too. Like, I be talking to all of them here and there.
Tim Smooth?
Well, you know, Tim, rest in peace. Tim
Smooth died?
Yeah, man, when? Tim.
Man, he died some years.
Tim been dead a few years. I forgot what year. Yeah, Tim died.
Mm-hmm. Man, I had no idea. I'm going to blame that on Lil Kano, man. That's Lil Kano, because he's supposed to tell me. Because Kano be my connector to New Orleans.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, Tim.
Kano let me know what's going on out in N.O.
Yeah, Tim died. Yep.
And that project, I didn't know Tim died.
Yeah, Tim died, man.
I was about to say I feel like Stacey Dash, but she's a damn coon, so I can never
feel like her.
R.I.P.
But yeah, rest in peace, man. Tim was a good one, man. Yeah, and then, a matter of fact, like you were talking about that smoke.
Yeah.
When I talked to Tim, because they were saying it was this and it was that. So I had the opportunity to talk to him. Because, you know, I just smoke blunts bad, like real bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't do none of that now. And I asked him when he came by to see me, I said, man, from the horse's mouth, what happened? You know what I'm saying? Where did the cancer come from? Because I smoke weed. I said, it can't be the weed. He said, no, Mo. He said, the cigar. He said, the doctor actually told him it got so many chemicals in that cigar, he was almost better off just putting it to his head and blow his brain, because that's how he was playing Russian roulette with the cigar. That's from Tim Mo. He told me that. Yeah, that's what caught up with him. Yeah.
These cigar bars are a big deal these days. It's a thing.
Like it's,
and I'm seeing not just dudes smoking cigars, but women.
Yeah.
And it's like it's cheek now, you know, like that's the thing to do. And I'm just looking at it and I'm like, you know.
That's just like Junior Mack is right here, man. Like Junior, he ain't gonna smoke cigars. He smoke white bars. He ain't gonna smoke it. But me, I ain't smoking none of it. I don't figure it all out. Mm-hmm. It's all, you know what I'm saying? Like people try to tell me, oh man, you made a song, we like them blunts, and you don't smoke blunts no more. No, man, because as you get older, you gotta get knowledge.
When you know better, you do.
You gotta
better.
Get knowledge, you gotta right. get wisdom, you gotta get understanding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like people, oh man, it's a herb. Okay, it's a herb. When you strike tea, it's a herb, right? You boil it, put it in water, whatever, right? Okay, if you want to smoke weed, that's why, like, you go to places like Jamaica. They also order, have the weed in brownies and cookies because that's how you're supposed to take it. Mm-hmm. The minute you put fire to that herb, it turned toxin. It's not designed to go in your body.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to take it, you got to take it in that form. You know what I'm saying? Which I ain't messing with none of it. You know what I'm saying? But people don't understand that I'm not. That was 30-something years ago, man. I came in 1967. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. I can totally relate to what you're saying. Because I remember one day I wished all the mothers a happy Mother's Day. And somebody went into my comments on Facebook and said, well, what about the bald head hoes?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And look, it was so crazy. It's so crazy how the universe worked.
Oh, man.
Because I had just was telling my partner about, he wanted me to get back to the music. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I can't do song like Dog B Get Nothing no more. I can't do that stuff. So he was telling me about Bust Down, about the Nasty B. He said, yeah, man, I told the Bust Down a couple of days ago. He said he don't perform the song no more. You know what I'm saying? And then I turned right around and I had seen you saying that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, we all growing up. You know, like Bust Down. Yeah. I said, man, I got grandkids. I got kids. I can't do this no more. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's what I feel about the performance of the songs. So I took Boy at Hoes out of my playlist for the performances, right? And it was out for several years. And one day, we're playing somewhere in the Midwest. It's a Ghetto Boys show. We're backstage, parked in a van, a 15-passenger van. Two girls come walking up. And one's like, where will it be? Where will it be? So I'm sitting right there at the door, by the door. So I slide the door open to the van. And I say, yeah, what's up? She say, I know you're going to take out, you're going to do Bowie at Hoes. She took off her wig.
Yeah.
She said, I know you're going to do Bowie at Hoes. And I turned to Domo, I said, put it back in the playlist.
Yeah.
Because look, I realized that those songs ain't mine anymore. They belong to the fans.
Exactly.
See, that's not my song anymore. It belong to the fans. If fans want to hear the song, that's what I'm doing. I ain't going out there doing with just what I want to do.
Exactly.
It's about what my
because
fans
because they paid their money.
It's about what my fans want. If you ain't a fan of the song, if you ain't a fan of Willie D, hey, man. You know, you really don't matter when it comes to my business.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? This is my business. This is business right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My business and my personal life is two different things.
That's
you
right.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go around just calling women.
Yeah, you're not going to put no more out now like that. Yeah. But that's not a different. Yeah,
that's not where I'm at. I'm not making any music like that anymore.
Exactly.
But for that music, for those fans bought that music.
Man, you're not lying.
They bought that music. They spent their money for their music. That music, I remember... This tripped me out. I'm making songs and I'm thinking like I'm being intentional about making songs that I feel that can really make an impact and change people's lives. I'm doing songs like The World is a Ghetto and you know, Ghetto Fantasy and, you know, all these type of songs like I tried and stuff like that. And this chick wrote me a letter one day and she said that Bald Head Hoe saved her life.
Humbra, wow.
And she said she was pregnant and her boyfriend left her and she was suicidal. She said, listening to Bald Head Hoes every day, it was so funny that it got her through the day. And it made her want to live because she would just look forward to listening to that song and laughing every day.
Amen.
And it just blew my mind. I was like, damn, man, these songs ain't mine.
You,
like, I can't try to predict what's going to pop and what's going to resonate with people, whatever. All
you
I can do is just make the song and then let it land and let it do what it do.
Exactly. Yeah, I done had some of them Sam stories, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, Bust Down was the same way. He stopped performing his song, and we did the thing, they had the Walls thing January 7th. And that's the first time he probably performed that song in a very long time. And when I say the women turned up.
I was about to say the trip part about it. I bet you the women Willie, sung it louder than when the dudes did.
Look, he left off the stage. He did his show. They wanted the song. He came back and it went off. You know what I'm saying? And I don't see no problem still performing them. But at our age, redoing another song like that, I ain't gonna do that one.
Yeah, I'm not doing it either.
Yeah, I ain't doing that one.
That's a wrap.
I can't do that
one. It's a wrap for me, but boy, if I wanted to, though.
Yeah.
I can talk about you.
Yeah, we ain't doing that one. We ain't doing that one, brother.
Don't get it twisted.
Oh, I know you got it.
Don't get it twisted. I could go there, but yeah, I think that there's other guys out there that's on the come up. They're going to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, like let them have it. You know what I'm saying? I'm an elder statesman. You know, I got some other information that can be valuable. If I was to put out something, you know, I see things a lot differently now.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, man, I really don't want to be a part of anything that's going to further divide black men and women.
Me, I'm on a sound page.
I don't want to be part of none of it.
Exactly. I'm on a sound page.
I don't want to sign no artists that hate women. I don't want to sign an artist that hate men.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like we need to come together, because, bro,
yeah,
we have survived a lot of wars. One war we cannot survive is a gender war.
That's right.
We can't. That's impossible.
Exactly. Yep. And that's why I be trying to tell people, like, you know, people be thinking, because, like, a lot of people know me from the legend of New Orleans gangster rap. Mm-hmm. But like I try to tell people, that was where I was at then. I started that. But it's not the discredit no other label from New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? We had a whole bunch of labels. But at the time, I'm the one brought that to the table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Ghetto Boys brought a lot of music to Houston. Y'all was the first one kind of doing it. They might have a couple other ones, but that's what you're known for. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I did, because at a particular time, I was a fan of Ghetto Boys. I was a fan of Eazy. I was a fan of Luke Skywalker. You know what I'm saying? That's who I related to, you know, more. And then, like I said, I was moving around before the music. So when I got in it, that's what I wanted to, you know, rap about. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted to do. Right. You know what I'm saying? And at this time, they was doing a lot of bounce music in New Orleans. I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to do no bounce music. I didn't at that time. But after I finished the gangster rap, then I had people like Cheeky that had talent. People like Ricky. I'm like, you know what? Let me use my platform. The boom. And look what that did. The whole world still twerking, 25, 26. That's all the ladies want to do.
Yeah.
That's it. And I was the first one with Cheeky to put it on wax.
Yeah, I'm ready for that damn twerking shit to go.
Yeah, I ain't lying.
It's
burning up right now. Yeah,
it's ran its course. Yeah, you know, like about. It's ran its course, like pants hanging off the ass. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of cheeks, you know.
Yeah. I never did that one. Now I can't get with that program. I don't know what
they
get out
of that. I saw a dude a couple of days ago. Of course, youngster. Not necessarily Coach Youngster, because there's some dudes our age be walking around like that. Mm-hmm. But this dude had his pants all the way down, like at the bridge of his what do you call it? His underwear, you know, mm-hmm. His drawers.
Mm-hmm.
So his whole ass was out, you know, and I swear to God, like, I don't know how a dude can walk around like that and not think that he's not inviting his ass to somebody who want it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that piece. It just, but you know, beyond that, what's crazy to me is the dude had a belt on.
That's what I was about to say. They had a belt way down. That's what I was about to say. Like, they had a pair with a belt on.
With a belt on.
Man, like, I watched a dude, man, one day, he had his pants way down there, and he was walking like on Manhattan Boulevard. That's probably about 3-4 miles. Yeah. And I'm watching, he walking, and he holding his pants up the whole while he walking. I goes down, I come back, I'm like, and they have a belt on. Like, I ain't never do that one now.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I'm not looking forward to getting shot like a dog in the street, but, you know, if something like that was to happen to me, I don't want to add insult to injury by having my pants hanging off my ass. I want to be laying on the ground with my asshole out. And these dudes ass crack ass out just laying on the ground. Like,
laying on the ground.
Man, that.
And they're like, we was coming
up. Dignity, bro.
When we was coming up, the man thing the more folks told you, boy, you better have clean underclothes on. Because you're going to get tail whooped. If you had to go to the hospital, you better have clean underclothes on. They'll tell you that all the time. These guys be walking around like, I'm like, bro, I can't get with that one. I can't get
but
with
you know,
that
it one. Comes down to parenting. Because I told my son early on.
My son tried it.
We don't do that shit.
Yeah, my son tried it.
Don't do it. We don't do it. If I see it look like, I don't even want to see your drawers line. I don't want to see the line of band. Mm. I don't want to see none of that. Boy, I ain't supposed to know what color drawers you got on.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You dig?
Yeah, then they have colorful drawers.
That's where daddy's come in at.
Yeah.
That's where daddy's come in at.
Yeah, I told my son one day he tried it. I said, boy, I said, don't you ever try me like that no more. I said, you do what I do. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that.
Well, I know somebody who did try you.
Who that?
Glorilla People.
Oh, yes, sir.
That producer tried you.
They tried me. They tried me.
Man, and we're going to court. Where are you with that?
It's filed to go to court. Now we're going to be going to federal court with it now. I had to file a lawsuit.
Yeah.
I reached out to him. They ain't respond. So, he's going to
court.
What's
the producer's name?
Macaroni Tony.
Macaroni Tony.
Macaroni Tony.
Macaroni Tony, man. That shit, I never
we're going to have some mac and cheese because Macaroni Tony is the one who made the beat.
Macaroni Tony.
Yeah, he owned the lawsuit, too. Uh-huh.
It's going to come down to the label that's going to have to pay, though.
Yeah, it's the label and the publishers. Yeah, you know how it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, everybody be thinking I'm attacking the artists and stuff. Man, like, I like what them kids doing. You know what I'm saying? Let them do their thing. But at the end of the day, it's business.
She used it on that song Tomorrow, right?
Yeah, Tomorrow.
Yeah, she don't know. She ain't.
No, they don't know.
Wouldn't know. I hear a beat, man. It's live. If I'm not familiar with the beat,
mm-hmm.
you know, most beats that came my way, I didn't know where the sample came from or whatever.
Exactly.
It's jamming. Let's do it. I rap on the beat. I leave it up to the publishers and the record label to do the clearance part of it.
And that's the thing.
You know, I just get in and do what I got to do, you know.
And that's all they had to do was go in there and do a license deal, add me to the song, and do what they got. They didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? So it's really, they're the ones who let the artists down to what
he probably, he probably looked up and saw that you was inactive.
Yeah, that's what they probably thought going to let it slide.
Because like,
the song, like,
get
what,
away with this one.
Almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they're like, he probably ain't around no more.
Yeah.
He probably, boom. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But now I'm on it. My fans, soon when they heard it, OG, they took your stuff.
So what happened when you made the initial contact and said, hey, you know, lawyer made the contact and said, yo, I'm sure your lawyer sent the letter and put them on notice. And how did they respond?
His words to me, he talked to the producer lawyer and he talked to her lawyer. You know what I'm saying? And at first, he said they tried to come with a low ball. But then...
What's that low ball?
He was saying something like 10% and a few nickels or something he said. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then after that, he went counter back and then they ain't never respond no more. So I guess they figure, they probably just go away. You know what I'm saying? So then the next step, you got to file the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And when he filed a lawsuit, that's when TMZ made it public, because, you know, lawsuit is public files.
Mm-hmm.
And once he did that, then they jumped on it. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
The next step is not a subpoena everybody and then, you know, drag it on out the court.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Have you ever used somebody's stuff and got
Come
sued?
Come on, man.
I never got sued. Yeah, because we were gangster with it back then, man.
Yeah.
We used Steve Miller like that for on that Gangsta Love song.
Mm-hmm. Y'all did that. Call me.
Man, mm-hmm. we tried to get it cleared. He didn't want to clear it. Mm-hmm. So we were like, well, fuck you then, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, we want this song, man. We got to use this song, mm-hmm. man. This song is jamming. That was a good one. Uh-huh. I remember it like it was today. Like, I remember Jerry was like, watch out.
Did he come at you?
Yeah, he came to get the money.
No.
He came to get the money. But, hey, look, it was a good exchange for us.
And that's how I was back in the day. I like, man, we use it. If it make money, I'm going to just pay him.
Yeah, we paid him. Like, he got paid. But the thing, we didn't mind, because Gangsta Love is one of our best songs.
Yeah,
and it's
exactly.
one of the most requested songs. And so we made that money 1,000 times over. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was a fair exchange.
But it's a lot easier now, Will. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You can just go there and grab licenses. You know, it wasn't back like when we was doing it. You know, right. so you had to go through all these spaghetti traps to get to the person. Like right now, you can just put it in. Like, you know, my song was published to where they could just went right there and got it and licensed and signed me out. Yeah. They might have to reach out to me to get a clearance. It's like that now. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But they tried, man. But they lost. They lost. They're going to lose this one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so now you want it all, I'm sure.
Yes, sir. We got to open the book. We got to see what they're working with. That's a big song. It's a good song, too, and it's a good beat. It's a good beat.
Yeah, I you know, like, somebody use my stuff, I want it all, bro.
Yeah.
Like if you use it, like, if you reach out, it's different.
Exactly.
We can work something out. But if you just use it, I'm going to pull a Steve Miller.
Yeah, I want to go back in time. Yeah. Pay me. Yeah.
I want it all.
For real. For real. But, I mean, it's a good look for me, because now I'm back circulating, you know what I'm saying, with lack of Mobile Joe.
Yeah.
I'm in the building. Said it was one of my favorites, Will It D.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big right here, Will. I ain't gonna lie. It's big right here.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it's good to see you finally, you know, getting your recognition in this landscape called music.
Yes.
You know, because people are like, who he did that person, because they know your artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they know,
They know now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
They
you know, like back in the 90s, man, it wasn't too many doles, you know, for us in the South. You know that even with y'all. You know what I'm saying? It was hard to get through. They wasn't trying to recognize us at that time, but, you know, we was dumping some good music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of people.
Yeah, and when I say they, I mean they outside of New Orleans. You know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about people outside of New Orleans. They mm-hmm. know the artist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing a good job getting yourself out there and getting on the circuit. And you got to tell your story, because who better to tell it than you?
Exactly. You got to tell it out. And hey, the universe spared me life to tell it. I'm going to tell it. It's my story. It's my history.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Man, how did that history begin at home? Like, what was it like? A little Joe. What was little Joe like?
Man, my childhood was so fun because I had 6 brothers. I had 7 sisters.
Damn.
Yeah.
All in the same house?
Yeah. Well,
good Lord.
Yeah. My mom and we had the same mom and the same daddy. Yeah. And I was the youngest of all of them. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, my daddy, he had, you know, businesses. So we had money. We had a big house. So on the weekends, Saturdays, everybody came to our house. You know what I'm saying? And that's when the 45 record was out and all that. So I was like the DJ. You know what I'm saying? So I'll play the records and then I'll dance and all that. You know, act crazy. That's what I used to do. You know what I'm saying? So my childhood, it was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Because back then, even if somebody got married, our house was big enough. You didn't have no halls to go to. They got married at our house. Everything was right there at the house.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in the household with 12 siblings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said 13 siblings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire time?
Yeah, my mom and dad stayed together the whole time. Yeah, one of my brothers died before I was born, though. One of them had died. You know what I'm saying? So I never really got to know him.
Did you feel rich? Did you feel that y'all had everything that y'all needed? Did you feel loved growing up?
Yeah, I felt it.
You felt
it? I had the best parents in the world. My parents was the best thing ever came in my life, my mother and my father. And when my father died, my mama was my best friend till she passed. Like, it was nothing I couldn't talk to my mom about.
So when you made your decision to get into the street life, how did that affect your relationship with your parents?
Well, my dad was gone then. Because my dad was, I would never probably went that way.
And how old were you when you got into the streets?
When I really got into the cocaine, I was like in my early 20s. But like right after my dad died, and my frame of mind, to see how he treated my mom, I'm like, man, my mom gonna still live that sound way.
So you
saying?
Jumped out there, you jumped selling, off the porch because you felt an obligation
exactly.
to help mama out.
Exactly.
And be the man I felt, to step up. And,
exactly. Yeah, I felt like it was on me to keep the family together. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I stepped out there. But at the time, before I really got into selling drugs, I used to do business burglaries and stuff like that. Like, I used to hijack trucks and break in businesses and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Allegedly.
Yeah. I did that. Yeah. Allegedly, that's what I did. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But after that era was over, then I started, you know, working in the streets, doing stuff. And I accumulate money fast because of my business skills that I knew. You know, I know how to take care of business. I know how to manage money and stuff like that. So that's helped me a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you still, like, signing artists now? Are you back to signing
not
artists?
Not really. I'm not really trying to sign artists. I'm kind of past that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to just get my catalog recognized. You know what I'm saying? Right now, for me, it ain't really about Lacrimal. It's about my artists getting what they deserve. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure if something do happen to me, I'm putting in music where it can be, you know what I'm saying, to where they can get what they're supposed to get. You know what I'm saying? And the recognition. You know what I'm saying? Just like, you know, Cheeky is the mother of Twerk. We was the first one to put it on wax. I want to, you know, on a national platform, I want her to be known for that. I want us to be known.
Shouts out to Cheeky.
Yeah, I want us to be known, Mobile Joe Records, for what we did as a group, just like Cash Money and No Limit. I just want everybody to be known for that. But for us signing groups and all that, no. I got a couple of projects already finished, and I just dropped the Ruler Juvenile 30th anniversary, you know what I'm saying, to celebrate their legacy. I basically did that for the fans, for my fan base. You know what I'm saying? That's why I really came back. You know what I'm saying? Because my personal life is pretty much intact.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where are you with your son, you know, the son that you said that don't want to inherit the business?
And my youngest son, he the best son in the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't give me no problem. He graduated, he worked, you know. But it's like, I just got him to start working on a trucking business. You know what I'm saying? Just doing a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But for some reason, I'm going to say it like this. Like, one of my little nieces, right, she was starting her little business, and I offer some help. And this was her words, and this is why I thank a lot of them at. I don't want no handout. And I think that's where he be at with it. You know what I'm saying? They think it's a handout. They want to do it on their own. That's how they think. Now, help
youngsters,
me out.
Listen
help
up,
me out.
Youngsters. Listen up. Listen up, you youngsters. Y'all pay attention. I'm going to give some of y'all out there, got some youngsters in the other room. I'm going to give you a moment to bring them in. Okay, time's up. Listen. It's not a handout. It's a hand up. When you give them information and instructions along the way, that's a hand up, not a handout. The idea for each generation is for the following generation to do better than they did, to have it a little easier. That don't mean have it lazier. That means easier, meaning that I don't have to go through all of the, what do you say, spaghetti traps and stuff?
Yeah,
or whatever,
make the mistakes
said,
we made.
That and make the same mistakes that my daddy made or his daddy made.
Exactly.
You know, it's a thing called nepotism. Ice Cube's son played him in a movie, Straight Outta Compton. Now, how much sense would it make for Ice Cube's son to say, well, you know, Dad, I don't want to play you, even though I know I could do it, and, you know, it would be a slam dunk. I think I just want to go blaze my own path, you know, in the movie industry and still do it, but I don't want to, I don't want people looking at me a certain...
Man, you think the Rockefellers give a damn about what y'all think about nepotism and their children having it easier? You think the Rothschilds and even the Trumps, they don't give a damn about all that stuff talking about? Ooh, I don't want to have a handout and all that stuff, man. Yeah. Them people understand that I put the work in. My daddy put the work in. My mama put the work in so that I don't have to do as much. Mm-hmm. So that I could actually have a running start, you know? Exactly. Instead of starting at square A like they started. That don't make no damn sense to me.
It don't make no sense.
It's stupid. And that's why a lot of youngsters make so many damn mistakes.
Exactly.
Because they won't take advice. They won't seek advice. Let me tell you something, bro. I got a shotgun, and I love that shotgun. Me and him, we very close. I got an AR too, right? If in the middle of the night somebody tried to come into my house, the shotgun is my first preference. And I got handguns. But the shotgun is what I would grab first because I don't have to adjust my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
All I got to do is just squeeze that trigger. I'm going to hit something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the AR, I got to be a little bit more accurate. You know what I'm saying? With the handgun, you know, I got 15 shots. Man, that shotgun going to hit your ass in the nose, in the ankle, you know, and your pinky finger. Something going to get hit. Your ass it's going to throw you off some kind of way.
Spray,
yeah, man.
And them buckshot spray. Yes,
that shotgun, if something coming through that door right there, all you got to do is aim at that door. You're going to hit something. Whatever's standing in that door, you're going to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I grab a 9mm or a 22, a Derringer?
Exactly.
Or a damn baseball bat, a stick. Mm-hmm. If I got a damn shotgun.
With that shotgun, exactly.
And somebody trying to come through that door. Mm-hmm. I'm grabbing the shotgun, bro, because I want to win every time. I'm not trying to make mistakes.
Exactly, exactly.
And it seemed like some people, they just hard-headed, man. They just got to make the mistake. Mm-hmm. But I also do believe that a lot of times people make mistakes that, what do they say, pride comes before the fall. Mm-hmm. I did it myself. I used to make mistakes like that when I was younger. I didn't have a daddy to go to and consult or whatever, but there were certain dudes around me, man, that had more than what I had and they already did what I was trying to do. And I didn't go to them, you know. I just want, you know, as a man, I'm stubborn and I made the money, I'm going to do it on my own. And just made mistake after mistake after mistake that I did not have to make.
Yeah.
And so I would employ these youngsters out here to learn from the mistakes of others. A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others.
That's true.
So why the hell am I going to go around that corner if somebody just came from around the corner, just got shot up?
That's right.
And he bleeding profusely.
I don't need to go around there to
see
what
happened.
He's staggering. I don't need to go
around. He coming
that.
Around like...
I don't need to go around that.
I just got stabbed. This dude is stabbing everybody around the corner. Why the hell would I go around that
exactly.
corner?
Exactly. It don't
unless
make no sense.
I want to get stabbed.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make no sense.
Yep. I think my son and a lot of these young men are having problems because you got, like you said, your daddy, you ain't had a dad in your life. You got a lot of these rappers and guys that don't have that. But that's not in every household. You see what I'm saying? So when you got that daddy there, and you got 10 friends that the daddy there, like all their friends, they love me. You know what I'm saying? They raise their kids, Mr. Joe. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what they call Mr. Joe. You know this, I learned this and that. But then they be thinking, oh, it's a pushback. You know what I'm saying? Like I just showed him a couple of months ago. I had to show him the little guy, like my adopted son, like he do my front office paperwork. I said, look, man, this man made $39,000 in 6 months, writing his own check and his own schedule. But then you driving for Pizza Hut, bro. You know what I'm saying? Then if something happened to me, you my only son, you need to know the business to carry it on. You know what I'm saying? But they just be thinking, but seem like he's starting to come around. Like, he's starting to see, like, you know what, my daddy and my enemy, like, you know what I'm saying? Let me get with him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I ain't gonna lie, growing up, for me, I gotta take my lick. I ain't had no handouts. I ain't had no help. The older guys, they showed me stuff, but when I got to my teenage years, all these older guys was dying off. The old men had them died off. The generation was supposed to teach us, like, I came in 67. So the ones came in 57, they was, you know, a lot of them was doing the drugs and stuff. So they wasn't really teaching us. So I had to really get mine out of the sewer pipe. I had to really get it. And having money young, being raised the way I was, I ain't used to know how to tell people no. If you came ask me for something, I had it. Yeah, man, boom.
And why'd you do that?
Because my mama raised me like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, like, this how I was in my household. Say, me and you friends. Like, you one of my best friends. So, say we go to the ballpark. We kids. We shooting ball. We say, okay, we're going to play the best out of five. You know, you win. So, I'm mad with you, but we friends. So, we might go home because our house was so big. I go, because I'm mad with Will, I go sneak in the pot and I duck off and go eat. If my mama came in now and she seen Will sitting down and she said, boy, you want some meat? If you said, yeah, I had an ass whooping from that. You know what I'm saying? Because she always taught me to share. Look out for your fam, look out for your people. So I was raised like that. You know what I'm saying? But I grew up and it took me a while to figure out how to separate it. I didn't know how to separate. Believe it or not, I didn't learn how to say no until I went to prison in 98. That's when I learned how to say no. Because if I had it, man, I ain't count.
So was there a particular incident that made you shut that down?
Yeah, because going to prison was something I ain't never wanted to do. I ain't never wanted to go to the jail.
No, I'm talking about, like, was there a particular incident while you were inside?
No, it wasn't a particular incident. I was fortunately young. I had time to start thinking and figuring out that you have to know when to turn some things off. So that time that I had by me being away from all that, because you can ask me that I'm in jail. See what I'm saying? So that's when I figured out how things had to start being. That's when I learned. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Here's a burning question I have for you. Your name is Ivory Joe Payne. You have this record label called Mobo Records, and you got these artists with all of these gangster names, like, you know, Doghouse Posse, Lower Level
organization.
You got Rulers Juveniles. Why didn't you just name the label Payne Records? I mean, it was right there in line with the gangsters. The gangsters name, you know?
Well,
the name was right there.
First of all, I didn't like Ivory growing up. It was soft to me. You couldn't really call me that unless you grew up in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I ain't like that
sound
name.
South
yeah, I used to call it, my mom, you naming that. But I love it now. I love it now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I love it now. You know what I'm saying? Because the women love it, and I know the meaning is unique.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, the name Mobo came from one of my childhood friends. He named me Mobo. And it, like, back then, when I was around the seventh grade, it was called me Joe because my name Ivory Joe Payne. So this always called me Joe. Mm-hmm. So at this time, when I around the 7th, 8th grade, like people say Wode, back then, everybody say, what's up, Bo? What's going on, Bo? Right? So like I say, I was so young, but I always hung with the older guys. So I always was moving around. So if I was 16, I hung with guys 20, 25. So one day they was looking for me, the guys my age, and they was like, man, Joe was seen with this one, seen with that one. Long story short, he said the next day we're going to make up nicknames. I got your name. I said, what's mine? He said, Mobo Joe. I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, well, we're going to take the Mo and rhyme it with Bo, because that's what everybody say, and we're going to just tag the Joe on it. I said, what does it mean? Back then, Bell Saw Mobility slogan was on the go, right? He said, stand for on the go, because you always going. So then I adopted it. So that's why everybody's to call me Mobo Joe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was smooth. I mean, the name's smooth. Don't get me wrong. Mobo Joe, that's smooth. That's smooth, you know?
But the sick names of the groups and all that, like, it just was like, I come up, man. I listen to all hard music, bro. Like, I'm talking about I listen to all the hard stuff. The Willie D's, the Ice Cube, the Easy E. So when them young guys, you know, at this time, they're 15, 16, when they came in my world. Now, Lower Level Organization, that was the name me and Notorious A came up with. But that's meant being from a lower level, being deprived of what we're supposed to get as a black race. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Being in poverty. That's what Lower Level Organization meant. You know what I'm saying? To what? Because like I say, when I left from Harvey and went to Desire Project, I didn't know a little bit for my sister starting to get welfare and food stamps, but we didn't have that for my dad. You know what I'm saying? So that's what that name come from. But when the guys came, I was living a rootless life. So these young guys, they right there, and that's when we started. You know, but the rootless name came from the crooked NOPD. They did some dirty stuff to Rootless Juvenile, and it was like, what you Rootless Juvenile's doing? That's what one of the police called them. They came back and told to me when we was just, we ain't had a name for the group. Mm. So when he said that, let me have that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it just went like that.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's the podcast going to be about, though? Like, what are you going to be talking about in the podcast?
On the Lacamo?
Lacamo podcast.
I'm going to talk about, I just did a Lacamo drop, right? I just did a Lacamo show. It's online right now, and it's called The Most, Valuable Job on the Planet, Being a Parent, right? And on that Lacamo, I'm breaking down how important it is for us as parents, especially you younger parents, with them cell phones, right? Because you're giving these kids these phones and you're not monitoring them. You're letting the phone parent them. So I had a situation a few years ago, me and my adopted son, we was down there in Wildwood, Florida, right? And I was telling them on our way back, his son, 9 years old, and he had a phone. And, you know, we just to Rootless Juvenile, you know, kids and all that, but the music he was listening to, I'm like, man, you know, this music is getting real to these kids. We ain't had phones, though. You know what I'm saying? Like they had. So I'm like, he shouldn't have a phone, because he was trying to tell me that he was trying to tell his wife not to have a phone, right? All right, I'm going to speed it up. So I'm telling him that. We gets back. I'm like, before we got back, I'm like, you got to talk to your wife about this boy with this phone. Gets home, Will. He called me about 9 o'clock that night. He said, Pop, he said, you going to be up for a minute? I go to sleep early. I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, I'm going to call you back. I'm hoping him and his wife ain't got into it. So he tells me that, man, you right about these phones. His 7-year-old daughter had a cell phone. His wife goes back in the phone to 6 months, 3 months. In the phone, this 7-year-old girl had been watching little boys have sex with little boys. Little girls on the phone. This real, Will, that this little girl unseen. Once you see something, you can't take it away. 7 years old. See what I'm saying? So then I got a friend of mine, he out of Mobile, Alabama, his name Chris. When we were at the truck show, his little boy had a phone too. I called him. No, I texted him. I said, when you hit me, when you get some free time, I need to talk to you. He calls me. I said, man, what's going on? I said, man, look, I need to talk to you about this incident with the phone. When I talks to him, his daughter, 13, got a phone. Know what she been doing? She been going back and forth with a little girl on sex stuff at 13 years old. See what I'm saying? So I talked about stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I talked about the food we eat. All this food that they, you know, you got to be very careful what you put in your body. You know, people like, man, how you look so young, look so good. I don't eat like that. Then from I eat my last meal December 31st. I ate that last meal no later than 7 o'clock. I don't eat no more to January 22nd. I've been doing that since 2015. I fast.
You mean you don't eat after 7 o'clock?
No, I don't eat for 21 days.
What you mean you don't eat for 21
days? I just drink water.
What do you mean you just drink water? What you talking about?
I fast.
21 days?
21 days.
What, every month?
I do it once a year.
You do once a year from what date?
From the first of the year, I don't eat to the 22nd of January. I just drink water.
Every year you about, do that?
Since 2015.
For 21 days, you don't eat anything. You just drink water. You don't drink any juices?
No.
No juices.
And while I drank straight, I drank just a little sip, 100% apple juice. It can't be from other juices. It got to be 100% apple juice. Because after about 7 days, 8 days, your mouth get, you know, real, real dry. You know what I'm saying? And you got to get you some sugar-free Halls because your mouth going to get dry and stuff like that. But doing this, it cleans your body out. You know what I'm saying? Just like you said earlier about your car got an exhaust pipe. You flush your car radiator, you flush your car out. You don't flush your system. You know what I'm saying? A lot of time, your cells reproduce. So if you got cancer, you know, by these fasts, it breaks this out.
Man, how in the hell do you not eat and not fall out?
Well, you was a boxer, Will.
I ain't never went 21 days. 21 days. Eating, man.
A matter of fact, he wound up doing it twice. Hold on a second. And I just got my ex-girlfriend, she did it this year with me, and my nephew did it.
How do you get through it?
It's the first 72. It's your hardest. It's the first 72.
The first walking 72. Around weird, 3 days. The first 72. Like fall out.
No. Well, I'm talking about the first 72, you don't want to go around food. You don't want to go in the kitchen. After that, you're not going to have no more craving. See, you got parasites that lives in you by this bad food. They're really addicted to the sugar. So that's why, like, a kid or even you might go somewhere and you might see something that you, like a honey bun. Two reasons why you want that honey bun. Because it registered with the parasites that lives in you. Plus, you had a relationship with that honey bun. You know how it tastes. You know what I'm saying? Some people might pull a little piece. So that relationship, and then you go to thinking about the parasite, yeah, I need that. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works. So you get a parasite, you get to flush your system just like you flush your car. You know what I'm saying? And it's not hard. After the 21 days, I mean, after the 3 days, the 72 hours, you're not going to be hungry no more. After 3 days, maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh day, you're going to start using the bathroom. Like, you going, I drive my truck and all when I'm doing this.
Man, this is what I'm trying to get to. Bro, the closest I've come to fasting is when I was doing the vegan thing. Well, I've juiced for like 72 hours. And then I've juiced for a week. And then I've, like, for 2 weeks, I was a vegan for 2 weeks. Bro, after those 2 weeks, man, when I was walking around, bro, I felt like I was going to faint, man. You know, I'm a ghetto buck, so fainting ain't gangster. I cannot do that.
Man, I can work out. I can drive my truck. I can run. I can do everything I want to do. Like, the food takes your energy. It takes your energy, man. You know what I'm saying? I tell you this here. I'm going to tell you where I got it from. If anybody want to know, go online and, I lose this thought. The Bahamas. What's his name? Dr. Miles Monroe. That's who I got it from. Okay. From the Bahamas. Rest in peace, he died. He teached the whole thing on his program.
He died or they killed him like they did, Savior.
Dr. Miles Monroe. I done been to his ministry. I used to be into all that. You know what I'm saying?
He died that they killed him like they did.
Man, you know that. Yeah. You know that shot. Yeah. Him and his wife and the young Paola was on a plane. And boom, he went down. You know what I'm saying? He went down in 2015 because that's the year I went to the ministry. But he had taught me the fast. Because how I got on it, they had just put me on a blood pressure pill. And I don't believe in pill. I don't take aspirins or none of that. And that when I started figuring out, man, nah, something ain't right. You know what I'm saying? So then I start learning about fasting and stuff like that. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's good, man. You got me thinking. You got me seriously thinking about it.
I tell you what.
I'm going to need virtually.
I'll give you a shout. I guarantee you do it.
Yeah.
We can do it together. I got people doing women now.
All right. You know what I'm willing to give it a shot, man. I don't mind changing bad behavior. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. Man, when it's time for you to go and you ain't got no more, how do you want to be remembered?
I just want to be remembered from, you know, being a real good person. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people say I got a big heart. And I be want to recognize from having a big heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just want to be recognized like, you know, like my mama. She went as a legend. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, loved my mama. And I just want to be loved. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I really want to be known for the love I got for my people. I don't love nothing on this planet more than the love I have for us as a race, because I know we were set up. I know that.
Don't get no realer than that. Ladies and gentlemen, Mobo Joe.
On the real.
No more talk.
This episode was produced by A-King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.